This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
See, James Earl Ray was nothing but a cover for State Murder. This is Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know. Stay tuned. KBOO Portland, I'm Teresa Mitchell. North Korea dramatically escalated its warlike rhetoric on Thursday, warning that it had authorized plans for nuclear strikes on targets in the United States. The moment of explosion is approaching fast, a North Korean military said, warning that war could break out today or tomorrow. Pyongyang's latest pronouncement came as Washington scrambled to reinforce its Pacific missile defenses, preparing to send ground-based interceptors to Guam, dispatching two Aegis-class destroyers to the region. That's from South China Morning Press, SCMP.com. They write tension was also high on the North's heavily fortified border with South Korea after Kim Jong-un's isolated regime barred South Koreans from entering a Seoul-funded joint industrial park on its side of the frontier. In a published statement by a KCNA news agency, the Korean People's Army General Staff warned Washington that U.S. threats would be smashed by a cutting-edge, smaller, lighter, and diversified nuclear strike means. The merciless operation of our Revolutionary Armed Forces in this regard has finally been examined and ratified, the statement said. Last month, North Korea threatened a preemptive nuclear strike against the United States, and last week, its Supreme Army Command ordered strategic rocket units to combat status. Now, what are they up to? Why are they doing this? Are they just nuts? North Korea has been confronted with nuclear war for three generations. And when the U.S. fought against the Chinese and the North Koreans during that war, their efforts were genocidalist. They bombed the country absolutely flat. And yet North Korea kept fighting to a standoff. That's the real situation. When you see the B-2 bomber flying in the air, I wonder what you think of the bat plane. Is it floats past, it looks kind of strange, doesn't it? But to them, but to North Koreans, it looks like extinction. This from KCNA, which is the official North Korean news source. Marshal Kim Jong-un issued an order for action at an operation meeting on the performance of duty of strategic rocket force of the Korean People's Army on a firepower strike. This is the final decision of justice prompted by the matchless grit of the brilliant commander of blah, blah, blah. Rodong Sinmun Wednesday says this in a byline article, that's their newspaper, the U.S. has persistently sought to realize the strategy for stifling North Korea by force of arms while trying to keep the state of confrontation going in the Korean Peninsula. The U.S. prodded the U.N. Security Council into cooking up resolutions on sanctions against North Korea, labeling its satellite launch a legitimate right of a sovereign state as a provocation. The U.S. is threatening the DPRK with a nuclear war. Now, they say that over and over, and it is the truth. The U.S. Is conducting gigantic war games, and it does annually, and they increase them every so often, and they're very large this year, and they are based on nuclear war. KCNA also writes it is the final conclusion drawn by the DPRK, meaning North Korea, that it can neither build a reunified, thriving nation nor protect the life and security of the people unless it tides over such a grave situation. The grudge of the Korean people at the U.S., the sworn enemy, is running high and their patience has gone beyond limitation. All the service personnel and people of North Korea have waited for a time of final battle for national reunification, pledging revenge on the U.S. for over half a century. They are waiting for the final order of Kim Jong-un, keeping themselves on high alert. The aggressors and provocateurs will face a great disgraceful ruin, in the final battle to be started soon, and the great Korean nation will greet the bright day of national reunification, they write. Although I'm proud to claim Cassandra-like powers in warning weeks ago that the North Koreans might be a little more aggressive this time around, I'm alarmed at the bright-eyed eagerness I see among the pro-war pundits on the mainstream media. There are plenty of politicians who would benefit greatly from a bombing campaign versus North Korea, and the news media would triple their ad revenues overnight. I remember the sickening sight of the cameras watching Baghdad as bombs blasted people to shreds. Those elements would also greatly increase their power in the U.S. should say, a nuclear device go off in the borders of the United States, as it would be extremely easy now to blame it on North Korea, and the game would be well and truly on. I realize that's a shocking implication, but we do live in a nation that has used false flag events and media exaggeration to promote wars, at least since the U.S.-Mexico War of 1846. It's a habit. By the way, speaking of false flag events, pull up a news site and watch the skyscraper in Chechnya burn. Note that it did not collapse. Steel skyscrapers do not collapse into dust from fires. They never have. It takes technically advanced detonation sequences to make that happen. That's due to physics, which does not change its rules even when it appears to be disloyal. Those of you who agree with me that the U.S. should abandon imperialism, who have been noted in speaking out against it, would possibly have to go into hiding on such a major false flag event. Assuming we were not vaporized by it, the temptation to pull such a stunt must be great for those of a certain mindset. It's at times like these that the seemingly minor and puzzling event of the Minot to Barksdale nuke stunt takes a major shift in importance. I can count 6 armed nuclear cruise missiles left Minot, 5 arrived at Barksdale. Should the arithmetic difference turn out to be due to the armament needs of a false flag stunt group, everything would change in an instant. The embarrassment and humiliation of the Iraq and Afghanistan occupations would be forgotten in an instant. The military would regain its prestige, and you and I would be pariahs indeed, if not prisoners. That said, Pyongyang has more going for it than was previously revealed. A few of their troop infiltration tunnels have been found, particularly in the 70s, but as many as 30 tunnels may have gone undetected, according to military analysts. 30 infiltration tunnels is more than enough to ensure a victory for the million-man, multi-million reserve North Korean army, even if they were armed merely with big sticks with nails in them. I have more to say about that. Right now I am joined by Membership Central.
I don't hear. Oh, and, there we go. Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you. And yeah. Membership Central is here to tell you that although we are well along in our membership drive, we need to raise another $20,000 or $30,000, and that means that you need to participate. And I challenge you, ask yourself, where would you ever hear this sort of information if not for KBOO Portland?
That's right, Teresa. And where else would we hear this kind of amazing programming that comes from, what, from volunteers? Every day someone comes in and brings you this this wonderful in-depth news reporting that can only be heard on KBOO. And the numbers again, in case you've forgotten, are 877-500-5266, or you can go online at kboo.fm. And I'm joined here by Ani. Good morning, Ani.
Good morning. Good
morning. Nice to see you.
It's great to be here. Uh-huh. I love pitching for the Thursday morning Radio Zine. I love pitching for Press Watch because, you know, I love Teresa.
And last chance on this pledge drive.
The thing is, I know that so many people listening count on the Thursday morning Radio Zine to bring them their dose of defiance, to bring them their dose of really deep looks behind the headlines. Whether you're listening to Press Watch or later on we'll have Fight the Empire, the Thursday morning Radio Zine is really all about getting deep into the information so that you can be informed, so that you can avail yourself of this independent media resource, and you can live your life in an empowered way with information that's going to do you right. That's what I'm doing here to support KBOO Community Radio. That's why I'm here. And right now, we'd love to hear your call at 877-500-5266 so that you can tell us you're there listening and benefiting from this information and that you choose to value it right now by taking a moment and giving us just a little of your hard-earned money so that we can continue this great experiment in independent community radio. 877-500-5266. It's my pleasure to be here with Ivan this morning saying it is your time to participate in community radio. And you can join us at $60 a year, $100 a year, $120 a year. Choose a level that feels right to you. Decide what you can commit to your community and give us a call and say yes to your community radio station, KBOO. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
Yeah, you know, community radio is a scarce resource in the U.S., and so many people have never listened to any. We regularly hear from new listeners about how excited they are that a station like KBOO exists. You know, whether you're new to Portland or have lived here your whole life and you share that excitement, call and support us right now. 877 500 5266 or online, kboo.fm.
Thank you very much. Membership Central, once again, that number, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABOO, 877-500-5266. And I would like to suggest that you call right now, that you spend 3 minutes on the phone, that you pledge $10 a month, that you get yourself a fine T-shirt or the Chinook book coupons. You could have either of those or any of a number of things. It's not Pledge Drive, it's Membership Central anyway. We'll be happy to tell you the details. 877-500-5266. That's essential. That's how we get our money. We don't get it from the government. We don't get it from corporations. And that's how we can afford to say what we think is actually true. That is absolutely essential and has been true of community radio from the get-go. We keep that. It's super important that we do it that way, that we not depend on huge donors. We need little donors. We need you. And ask yourself, do you have it in you? Do you have the shoulders? 877-500-5266. Now, I suggest the $10 a month pledge because if you're working and you have $10 available, then you're likely to have $10 available next month, aren't you? So that's not going to drag you down too much, but it's really just lifeblood to the station to get those what we call sustaining pledges in. 3 minutes on the phone, set that up. We'll draw it out of your bank account, $10 a month, 877-500-5266. That's the first thing I need to do today is make sure that another 10 people join KBOO. And I'm talking to you, and you are one of those 10 people. And I welcome you. And I thank all of you, those of you, thousands of you who have joined in and hundreds who have joined during Press Watch. I'm really grateful to you for doing that and also for your patience as we do this. And, you know, should we come out a little short on the drive, don't worry about it. I mean, heck, we have a secret weapon. It's called a radio station. And if we need to raise funds, then we can just continue raising funds, you know, and set it up a few weeks or months later. However we need to, we will be here. Thanks to you. 877-500-5266. Now's the time. You are the person. I was talking about the situation with North Korea, and I was trying to emphasize that it's not as it appears on several levels. In the first place, yes, the U.S. has been provoking and frightening the North Korean people. I will not make excuses for the North Korean leadership. They are absolutely... Well, everyone else will be happy to tell you all the bad things about the North Korean leadership. Those big silly hats say it all, don't they? But they are being provoked. They have a right to defend themselves. And that provocation goes back generations when the U.S. conducted a war against North Korea that was absolutely genocidal. China came in, pushed the U.S. almost to the sea. Thereafter, the war went to saturation bombing. And millions died. Flamethrowers were used to kill hundreds of prisoners of war at a time. Biological warfare was used. Little flies were dropped with encephalitis. A U.S. journalist was convicted of sedition for breaking that story. We have not been told the truth about this. And so when those gigantic war exercises go down, of course, the North Koreans, I mean, their only choice is to be absolutely fierce or to submit. And they chose not to submit. Right now, I was talking about the tunnels. You can go see a tunnel that was discovered in the 70s. It's a tourist attraction now. Military analysts estimate, due to observed logistics due to the North Korean military mindset and habits, there are probably dozens of tunnels. They are used for pushing thousands of troops through four abreast. There may be as many as 30 tunnels. I mention these because a lot of Americans think that North Korea doesn't have a chance, but North Korea does have a chance in a horrific and bloody way of, well, of conducting a mass attack that would blow up many people in Seoul, South Korea, and that would occupy that city. North Korea has hundreds of jet aircraft, all grossly outdated, and if they were all to attack at once simply to drop bombs and ditch into the ocean, South Korean defenses would be overwhelmed easily. Overwhelmed. There are not enough missiles. There are not enough aircraft. I think there is a small but widening chance that Kim Jong-un and company have decided to give it all up, throw all the cards onto the table, assault Seoul with everything they've got, occupy it as hostage against a retaliatory U.S. nuclear strike. Oh, yeah. How are we going to nuke them then, huh? Especially if they bring in a nuke through one of those tunnels. And then make a demand favorable terms. Their alternatives, now that they've gone so far screaming into a bear's den with a sharpened stick, may be getting slimmer. That's their fault. At this point, they might consider invading just to loot food. But here's a real difference in my analysis. In a sick kind of way, North Korea could win. Not for long, perhaps, but no one wins under those circumstances. And we here in the United States need to confront our imperialism and racism. I want to make it very clear that I oppose any renewed war in Korea, and should such a tragedy unfold, I'd like to make it equally clear that the U.S. has long fanned the flames of conflict there and must take a large part of the moral charge for doing so should conflict break out. Watching the corporate news coverage on the television with the sound down, one could be forgiven for assuming that a vicious group of marching uniformed maniacs are threatening cute shopping ladies with bayonets and flaming phallic missiles for no reason whatsoever. Beware the U.S. corporate media war propaganda machine. Beware, it's just getting started. Running at idle speed, and it's already creeping into your brain through the eyes and ears. The best outcome would be for the world to ignore Pyongyang's bluster and offer a German-style reunification without rancor. For that, the three-generation-long U.S. occupation of Korea should end. The thousands of U.S. troops should be withdrawn. I mean, what is it, a colony? Enough of that. It's 19 minutes after the hour, and it means it's time to be joined by Membership Central. I implore you, if you have not joined KBOO, or if you are capable of upping your pledge to $10 a month or more, $20 a month, please call now 877-500-5266. Hi there, Membership Central.
Well, good morning, good morning.
Who's there?
Well, this is Ani, and I'm here with Ivan.
Hello.
Hi, Ivan.
Hi.
And we are once again saying this is your moment to make KBOO your very own community radio station. Go from being a passive listener to being an active member of community radio. You can become a stakeholder by calling 877-500-5266. And supporting Teresa's program this morning, supporting Press Watch, supporting the Radio Zine, supporting KBOO Community Radio in general with your call at 877-500-5266. We need to raise $500 in this particular break to make sure that we get all of the support for Teresa's program that it so richly deserves. And we can do that one person at a time when you dial 877-500-5266. I want to thank Beaterville Cafe and Bar at 2201 North Killingsworth Street and Voodoo Donut, 1501 Northeast Davis Street, Spicy Pickle at 1220 Southwest 6th Avenue, and La Happy at 1011 Northwest 16th Avenue. These folks have all donated food to the membership drive so our volunteers can keep themselves fed throughout the day as they take your support calls at 877-500-5266, raising that $500 goal for, right about now, and that $99,000 goal in general.
$99,000. You know, it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, quite frankly, but, you know, we can do it. We can raise that money. We can work together. We can pull together as a community and reach the goal for this fund drive by calling 877-500-5266. And, you know, the thing I love about radio is that it's so rough. You know, it's not like it's, you know, the internet, very polished. You can erase, you can edit, you can do all those things. But radio is live, ladies and gentlemen. It comes to you from actual speaking voices. Maybe you've got a little static on your radio. That's not something you're going to hear on the internet. And I love the internet. It's a great thing. It's a great resource. But radio is real. Radio is now. Radio is live. And we're coming live to you at 877-500-5266. And, of course, you can always go online at kboo.fm.
That's a great point, Ivan. Radio is very immediate. And we are right here at 23 minutes after the hour. And we need your immediate response, 877-500-5266.
That's right, Teresa. And I want to let folks know that if they call right now, they can get the ever-popular 4-gig audio flash drive, KABU Audio Flash Drive. It's got exclusive KABU audio content, including recorded talks by Helen Caldicott, David Bersamian, Winona LaDuke, Noam Chomsky, Derek Jensen, Amy Goodman, Vandana Shiva, and oh so many others, including some originally produced public affairs programs here in the studio, as well as when we were embedded with Occupy last year. It's an important piece of your audio history. It's an important archive of public affairs that you can fit in your pocket and you can share around in the community. KABU is about spreading information, and you are there. You're receiving the information, and now we need you to fund that flow of information to you. That's what keeps us grassroots supported. You, my friend, are the grassroots. 877-500-5266, the number to call, or online, kboo.fm. Just go up to that jar in the corner that says donate now, and we would love to hear from you in either of those ways. Of course, you can also stop by 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're just in between Burnside and Ankeny, and we'd love to meet you. You can see how your money is spent here in support of the community broadcast, and take a tour of the station. Find out exactly how KABU works. That's 20 Southeast 8th. But maybe you're already well engaged in doing something. The easiest way for so many people to plug in is just picking up your phone and punching the numbers. 877-500-5266. Help us raise that $500 for Teresa's program for Press Watch. We are running a scooch behind, about 15% behind of our overall fundraising goal. So we have just about 3 days left of this membership drive, and we really do need to hear from you so that we can reach that $99,000 by the end of Saturday.
Think about it. Who needs to join KABU? It's the people who understand that the information needs to be presented. We are, of course, both internet and radio now. Times have changed, and we have changed with them. And if you miss anything on this show, you can hear it again by pulling up kboo.fm, enter Press Watch, all run together, lower caps on the search bar, and you will see a list that will include today's show, and that will be available in about 15 or 20 minutes.
That's right. These are some of the improvements that KABU is striving to bring you, the listener, in response to your requests, your information, your feedback. We try very hard to work with the community to really bring you the multimedia resource that you need. And you need it because, well, we want to live informed lives so that we can take right action together. Direct action gets the goods, and it's concerted action, really, when it comes right down to it. That's the power of community media. That's the power of community radio. People can use this information in practical ways to make the world a better place. 877-500-5266.
Thank you, Anit. Thank you, Ivan.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Teresa. And, you know, the drive-in Saturday and today, become a hero. Join the station. Join KABU.
877-500-5266. Now, coming up in just a couple of minutes, Per Fogering is going to host Fight the Empire. He'll discuss the 45th anniversary of the state assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. At 10 o'clock, Flashpoints, looking at U.S. and North Korea. At 11, Between the Covers, Peter Rock. And 11:30, Black Book Talk. The guest is writer Jonathan R. Miller. All that coming up and more. Now, just a couple of minutes left. I need you to be calling in as I give this information. This from RussiaToday.com. Researchers have discovered that the Fukushima nuclear disaster has had far-reaching health effects, more drastic than previously thought. Young children born on the U.S. West Coast are 28% more likely to develop congenital hypothyroidism. In examining post-Fukushima conditions Along the West Coast, researchers found American-born children to be developing similar conditions that some Europeans acquired after the 1986 meltdown of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. Fukushima fallout appeared to affect all areas of the U.S. and was especially large in some, mostly in the western part of the nation. That's according to researchers from the New York-based Radiation and Health Project, writing in a study published by the Open Journal of Pediatrics. Children born after the 2011 meltdown of Japan's Fukushima nuclear power plant are at high risk for acquiring congenital hyperthyroidism. If they were in the line of fire for radioactive isotopes, researchers studied concentration levels of radioiodine isotopes and congenital hypothyroid cases to make the association. Now, departing from this text, if you were listening to Press Watch at the time, you'll recall that as soon as it occurred, I was on the air shouting that there were lies, that those explosions were nuclear, that they were spreading radiation, and I begged you to take kelp if you could not actually get iodine supplements. And I know that some of you did. I bring that up because I believe that the work that I do here is valuable. It spurs me to action every week. I give it my all. Please give a little bit to your community radio station, 877-500-5266, and stay tuned for Parafoggering.
Saturday, April 6th for a grand finale to the Spring Membership Drive featuring live music, great programming, and charming hosts, all from the KBOO studios. From 9 a.m. to noon, Music from the True Vine will feature live music, including legendary country singer Skip Gorman, the Rocky Butte Wranglers, the Hackison Family, and bluegrass chart toppers the Steep Canyon Rangers. KBOO will reschedule the Hollywood Bowl event, but the same great performances will happen at the KBOO studio Saturday, April 6th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., a terrific grand finale to the Spring Membership Drive. Saturday, April 6th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tune in, enjoy, become a member. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning. This is Fight the Empire, and today, April 4th, is the 45th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. He was gunned down around 6 p.m. in Memphis, Tennessee, and 45 years ago tonight. I just got this article the other day, and I'm going to sort of dip into that. This article is on a kind of one of these news aggregation sites called Reader Supported News. And so I think they're, you can just go online and type out Reader Supported News or rsn.org, I believe, is their address. And this article is by Carl Gibson. And it is really I highly recommend that everybody look this up and read it. But we will talk about it a little bit. So this is Carl Gibson writing. You should know that in 1999 in Memphis, Tennessee, more than 3 years after MLK's death, a jury found local, state, and federal government agencies guilty of conspiring to assassinate the Nobel Peace Prize winner and civil rights leader. Let me say that again. This uh, A jury found these agencies guilty of conspiring to assassinate Dr. King. The same media you would expect to cover such a monumental decision was absent at the trial because those news organizations are part of that conspiracy. William Pepper, who was James Earl Ray's first attorney, called over 70 witnesses to the stand to testify on every aspect of the assassination. The panel, which consisted of an even mix of both black and white jurors, took only an hour of deliberation to find that Lloyd Jowers and other defendants guilty. And you can check that out, too. Now, I have a little clipping that when that verdict came in, there was a little story in the Oregonian on, I think, on page 10, and it was about, it was not a long story, it was about a 8-inch story. And think about that for a while. Here's this, this jury has reached a verdict that King was assassinated by a government conspiracy, and all it rates is a little 8-inch story on page 10 of the Oregonian. Now, I should say that this jury was a civil case. It was not a criminal case. And this man, Lloyd Jowers, who was sort of the principal defendant, was we'll get into that a little bit later. He owned this cafe in Memphis, and he was part of the conspiracy. And he, at one time, after it, he confessed. And he offered to testify in a trial if he could be granted immunity, which is often done. He was not the shooter. He was just sort of part of the conspiracy. So he offered to testify on the stand under oath if he would get immunity or some kind of a deal, plea deal. The Memphis prosecutor turned him down, wouldn't do it. So in effect, that meant Lloyd Jowers did not testify. So let me go back to Carl Gibson's article. When MLK was killed on April 4th, he was speaking to sanitation workers in Memphis who were organizing to fight poverty wages and ruthless working conditions. This is why Dr. King was